A person who examines any corner of the universe, from the giant galaxies in space to the living beings in nature, and from his own body to invisible cells, sees a flawless plan incorporating both order and design. Every spot of the universe overflows with a precise and explicit fact, the fact of creation. The miracle of birth. In the Quran, God sometimes draws attention to the miracles in the heavens and the earth, and sometimes to the miracles in living things as signs of His existence. One of the most important of these signs are the miracles in man's own creation. In many of the verses, people are called upon to turn their attention to their own creation and to take heed how man has come into the world, which stages he has passed through, and what his essence is, are all explained in detail. In the verses of Surat Al-Waqi'ah, the creation of man is referred to as follows. It is we who have created you. Why then do you not accept the truth? Have you ever considered that seed which you emit? Is it you who create it, or are we the creator? Surat Al-Waqi'ah, 57-59. The essence of the human body, which is a mass of flesh and bones of approximately 60-70 kilograms, is initially a drop of water. The development of a human being who has wisdom, who hears, sees, listens, and has an extremely complex body system from a drop of water is no doubt the result of an amazing process. This process, on the other hand, could not have happened by random coincidences, but as the result of a conscious creation. Someone who evaluates his existence not wrongly and haughtily, but by the guidance of his conscience and wisdom, will see numerous signs of the creation of God, even just by examining himself. His gaining energy from the food he eats, his ability to perceive the smells of grilled beef, the rose, and the peach, his ability to distinguish the tastes of the various food he eats, his hearing his own voice when he speaks, his blood conveying the necessary nutrients and oxygen throughout his body when he breathes, his ability to focus his eye on a particular object when he looks at it, his ability to keep things in his memory, his ability to walk, to run, his heart beating without stopping, his cells synthesizing the proteins required by his body, and many other similar marvelous happenings. A conscious person who deeply ponders upon all these functions of the body, over many of which he has no control, and which take place even without his knowledge, will comprehend that these are the works of a flawless creation, and is thus led to know his Creator and understand why he created him. The story of man's creation starts at two different locations very distant from each other. The human being steps into life by the union of two separate substances present in the bodies of men and women, which are created totally independently from each other, yet in perfect harmony. Produced in man's body at the rate of 1,000 per minute, sperm has a special design made for its journey to the female ovaries, a journey that progresses as if it knows the place. The sperm is composed of a head, a neck, and a tail. Its tail helps it to move swiftly in the uterus. The head part of the sperm is covered with a special protective shield. The function of this shield, which is specially protected because the sperm carries a portion of the genetic code of the baby, is revealed at the entrance to the mother's uterus. Here, the environment is very acidic, and this shield protects the most precious load of the sperm from this acidic environment. It is obvious that there is a special creation in the design of the sperm. It is surely unlikely that the sperm could have been aware of this acidic environment and thus have provided such protection for itself. After all, the sperm is a cell so small as to be invisible to the human eye, with no wisdom, intelligence, or brain at all. It is impossible for it to know about the dangers awaiting it on its way to a cell produced at a totally different place and to take the necessary precautions. It is obvious that the sperm is protected by a power who knows the existence of this acid, the sperm, the journey it will take, and its destination, and who created all. The ovum, the size of half a grain of salt, is also prepared to meet the sperm. An egg, matured in the ovaries, is left in the abdominal cavity, and it is then caught in the arms placed at the end of the appendages, called the fallopian tubes of the uterus. At the place where the ovum matures and awaits the sperm, it starts to secrete a special fluid. With the help of this secretion, the spermatozoa find the location of the ovum and make no mistake about their destination. Briefly, the body's reproduction system is designed to unite the ovum and the sperm. The incidents taking place at the moment when the egg and the sperm unite are even more interesting. The ovum is surrounded by a strong membrane. Spermatozoa cannot fertilize the egg without passing through this membrane, so they first try to drill through it. At this stage, the ovum secretes another fluid, which immediately dissolves the protective shield covering the head part of the sperm. The enzymes leaking from the dissolved head of the sperm dissolve the membrane of the egg. This way, the sperm enters the ovum with the cooperation of the ovum. The membrane surrounding the ovum starts to repair itself only 2 seconds after the sperm breaks in. This process takes approximately 1 minute. After this operation, a second sperm is never allowed in. The chromosomes of the ovum and the sperm coming together in the uterus form a new genetic program. This way, the individual chromosomes of the ovum and the sperm unite to form the zygote, the essence of the new human being to be born. 30 hours after fertilization, the zygote completes its first division, and now it is at its two-cell phase. These two cells are identical. With this very first division starts the first day of the 9-month period of our life in the womb. Every day, these two cells grow by division. A division occurs every 30 hours. While this group of cells grow by division, they also proceed towards the location where they will reside for the next 9 months. The zygote has to settle itself in the most suitable place of the uterus. It should be just the right place to facilitate the delivery, which will take place after 9 months. Also, it should be somewhere close to the mother's blood vessels, which supply food for the zygote. The zygote finds this right place and clings to the uterus, just like roots firmly fixed to the earth. But how does a group of growing cells, namely the zygote, select the most appropriate place for themselves? How does a newly developed group of cells know the mother's body, where it resides in so well? It is obvious that a collection of cells cannot do such calculations, because at this stage, we are not yet talking about a conscious living being. We are only talking about a lump of flesh, which grew by division. But this lump of flesh, as if it has a wise and conscious will, goes off to exactly the right place and adheres to it. In Surat al-Mu'minun, God states that the development in the mother's womb does not take place by itself, and also that it is not a coincidental development. Every stage of this development occurs by the special creation of God. We created man from the purest kind of clay, then made him a drop in a secure receptacle, then formed the drop into a clot, and formed the clot into a lump, and formed the lump into bones, and clothed the bones in flesh, and then brought him into being as another creature. Blessed be God, the best of creators. Surat al-Mu'minun, 12-14. What has been hitherto outlined about the miraculous aspect of the creation of man is stressed in many other verses. The information included in these verses contains such details that they could by no means have been known with the technology available in the 7th century. People living in the age when the Quran was revealed, to be sure, knew that the basic substance of birth was related to the semen of the male, and the fact that the baby was born after a 9-month period was obviously an observable event, not calling for any further investigation. However, the bits of information related in these verses are far beyond the level of learning of the people living in that period. These could only be verified by 20th century science in the very recent past. In the Quran, sperm is referred to as a drop of ejected semen. 250 million sperms emitted from the male undertake an arduous journey in the mother's body until they make it to the ovum. Only 1,000 sperms succeed in reaching the ovum. The ovum, the size of half a grain of salt, will let only one of the sperms in. That is, the essence of man is not the whole semen, but only a small portion of it. This is explained in the Quran. Does man think that he will be left uncontrolled, without purpose? Was he not once a drop of ejected semen? Surat al-Qiyamah, 36-37. As we have seen, the Quran informs us that man is made not from complete semen, but only a small part of it. The particular emphasis given to the statement a drop 1,400 years ago has only recently been discovered by modern science. This is another piece of evidence that the Quran is divine in origin. The nutritious fluid carrying the sperms, called semen, does not consist of sperms alone. On the contrary, it is made up of a mixture of different fluids. These fluids have functions such as containing the sugar necessary for providing energy for the sperms, neutralizing the acids at the entrance of the uterus, and creating the slippery environment for the sperms' easy movement. Interestingly enough, when semen is mentioned in the Quran, this fact, which has been discovered by modern science, is also referred to, and semen is defined as a mixed fluid. We created man from a mingled drop to test him, and we made him hearing and seeing. Surat al-Insan 2. In another verse, semen is again referred to as a mixture, and it is stressed that man is created from the essence of this mixture. He who has made everything which he has created most good, he commenced the creation of man from clay, then produced his seed from an extract of base fluid. Surat al-Sajdah 7-8. The Arabic word sulala, translated as extract, means the essential or best part of something. By either implication, it means part of a whole. This shows that the Quran is the word of a very superior wisdom that knows the creation of man down to the finest detail. Who is God?